This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com.
Front Office Report is brought to you this week by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And Sam Kennedy, the president, CEO, all-around boss of the Boston Red Sox, joins us right now here on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Sam.
Good morning, Greg. Morning, Wiggy. How are you guys?
How you doing?
Doing well, although we're scuffling a bit right now, so we'll hopefully be better after tonight.
I want you to look ahead to Sunday night in October and tell me which would rate better, a Red Sox World Series game or Brady versus Belichick at Gillette Stadium.
Well, I'm obviously biased, so I'll take the World Series game, but looking forward to seeing Brady. I mean, it's really remarkable. I've been listening this morning. You guys are building up some serious drama.
Well, I mean, it's really
in your tenure
with the Red Sox or in your life being a fan, has there been a player that came back to Fenway where there was this much excitement? I don't think there is in the history of the city.
I can't think of it. In my little world, you know, when Johnny Damon came back with the Yankees, that was pretty intense. He got the mixture of boos and middle fingers and tears. But this is something else, and what the guy did for the city and the region, just incredible. So it'll be exciting.
What are you hearing about when we could anticipate a full Fenway Park, Sam?
We are hearing all good news. Things are getting much, much better. People at the state and the city tell us they're hopeful that we're on track for, you know, opening to 100% capacity at some point this summer. No specific dates, of course. We're hoping, you know, that August 1st would be the latest. And, you know, we've got concerts scheduled, and Zach Brown just added a date. So we're hoping to be at full capacity as soon as possible. And just to go to 25% was great. 10,000 people last night. It really makes a huge difference. So hopefully soon, the number, you know, we had a day with zero deaths the other day, which was quite a milestone. So soon, we hope.
So with regard, I was curious about that Zach Brown date, which is August 8th. Is that something, just let us in on the inside about how that works. Is that something that the city, you know, because the mayor's date is August 22nd, I think, is when she said the city can open up. Is that something that the city has approved, or is that, how does that work?
They have, yeah. For larger venues, we understand that we're going to be in line with sort of the state guidance. Everything is, of course, subject to what happens with respect to the virus, the positivity rates, the vaccinations, but we're told from the state and the city that with respect to August, we should be good to go. And so, of course, most of the tickets were bought and paid for well over a year ago. So thanks to everybody for their patience. And then we did add Zach Brown, which is exciting. He is selected. Got to love this guy. He's selectively picking his favorite markets around the country and coming to play. And Fenway, we're told that it's absolutely his favorite outdoor venue in the country. So we're excited to have him. It'll be a great night on August 8th.
Speaking of vaccines, when it comes to Pavetta, he had some kind of like side effects from that. And is that the way the league works it, where you end up going on the COVID list with regard to that? Is that how that works?
Yeah, you have the ability to put guys on a COVID IL injured list and give him a chance to recover. Hopefully he'll be able to be back really soon. It sounds like it was just side effects from the vaccine. No panic needed in Red Sox Nation in terms of a positive test or anything like that. So hopefully he'll be back real soon and looking forward. We need him. He's been terrific.
Sam, you guys are sitting in first place. Even though you're on this like three-game slump, prior to that, you won four straight. How important was it for this team to get out to the fast start that they did to enable you to be in a position where if you hit a little bit of a bump in the road, you don't lose too much ground that you've kind of put yourself ahead of the curve?
Very important, Wiggy. You know, getting off to a fast start was really important. This division is really tough. You see what the Yankees and the Rays are doing. We lead the league in many categories, in runs and average, slugging percentage, OPS. I mean, really, the guys have just been playing incredibly well. We did run into a buzzsaw the last two nights. And, you know, as quickly as it comes, it goes away. So we hopefully will get back on top. But, you know, you heard Alex at the beginning of the season. He believes in this group of guys. So hopefully we'll get going. We got the Angels coming in, which won't be easy. But it's a long road, and let's try and stay on top of the AL East.
Speaking to the group of guys at Cora, Sam, in particular, this group seems from outside to be all on the same page, pretty good vibe, pulling in the same direction. How do they compare when you look at them to some of the previous versions of the club in that sense?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Ken. It is a group that seems to have two things, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from the guys who were here in 19 and 20. Obviously, we weren't pleased with how things unfolded. But there's also, as you know better than anybody, lots of new faces, new guys who really don't care about 2018 and what happened that year. They're really focused on making their own name. And guys that really want to play in Boston, that's always the difficult thing for us when you bring in free agents, guys from other markets. You want guys that want to play in Boston. Sometimes you think you want to play in Boston, and then you get here and you realize it's unlike anywhere else for baseball because it matters here more than anywhere else. And we've got a bunch of guys who are really pumped to be playing at Fenway Park and with the Boston Red Sox. I mean, Alex Verdugo, you know, last year brought energy with nobody. And when we have 4,500 fans, he said he could feel the intensity, and now it's ramping up. So hopefully they'll continue to gel more and we'll stay healthy as we get into the summer.
How much of the credit for that goes to Alex Cora, if any?
Yeah, I think all the credit goes to our baseball operations group from Chaim Bloom and his amazing team, and that includes Alex Cora and the staff. Will Venable ran a great spring training, getting everybody ready. Obviously, you know where we stand on Alex Cora. Huge fans of and supporters of his. It was important to us to get him back where he belongs in that Red Sox dugout. So he deserves a huge amount of credit, but I think he'll probably tell you at the end of the day, it's the players. I mean, they're going out and pitching and doing their thing. And so great players make all coaches look really good and managers look good. So I think Alex would give credit to the players, but there's you can't point out, you know, one area of the operation. It's the entire baseball operations group that has done a great job. They'll also be quick to tell you there's a long, long way to go. So no one's celebrating anything, but it is rewarding to be playing competitive baseball and to be in first place at this point in the season.
Well, you talk about players and having that kind of, we used to call it in football, having that dog in them, right? And Perez had went on, I think it was after one of the games, where he basically said that we are an effing good team. And you never know what kind of team you're going to have going into a season. But as things start to unfold, you know, how happy are you to see a very good baseball team that you have out there? And it looks like that this is a team that's going to compete, and it's a competitive, and like Perez said, is a good baseball team.
Yeah, I love what he said, and I love Martin Perez. He wanted to be here. He never, you know, wanted to leave. He wanted to come back. You want guys like that. You know, he was pissed off when he got taken out of the game. I mean, you just love to see that. This guy is a competitor, and we've got a great group. Probably have the most underrated superstar in all of Major League Baseball, and Xander Bogaerts. He sets the tone for everybody, and really, really hungry to win another title. So it's a good group, and Alex has them all gelling right now.
Speaking of superstars, Sam, what does LeBron James make of the start to the season? Has he been been keenly following the team?
Yeah, he was concerned with a few of the decisions that Alex has made late in the game. I think they were texting or WhatsApping the last couple nights, so he'll get us straightened out.
Did he tell you who he feels should be the next co-host? Did LeBron give you any information on that?
He said he gives his proxy to Chris Curtis, whatever Chris says.
Okay, LeBron right. And I are tight.
Sam, but how cool is it, though, right, you know, somebody who's, you know, played in a lot of different places in the NFL, to be part of an organization that is pretty much known throughout the world, and then having a guy like LeBron James want to be part of that, how cool is it to be part of a sporting organization that is arguably, you know, one of the top three in the world when you're talking about all the sports, just as far as how much you guys are known and what the Red Sox logo represents throughout the world?
Well, it is humbling, and you said it well, Wiggy. We are a sports organization. Obviously, my responsibility and entire focus is on the Boston Red Sox, but we have a much larger organization with Fenway Sports Group that John Henry and Tom Werner and Mike Gordon have built over the last two decades. And to have LeBron become an investor, become a partner, and want to be a part of where we're going in the future, which, make no mistake, is an organization poised for more growth. We love the sports business, the sports industry, and hopefully we'll be able to be involved in other sports and other teams and other leagues as we go forward. It's not easy because the opportunities are few and far between, but I think that's LeBron and his partner Maverick Carter's vision for Fenway Sports Group. They've been involved with us in a meaningful way for 10 years, but now they're part of our ownership group and have a say and a voice in how we're building the larger organization. It's an exciting time, especially coming through the last year and a half, which were really, really tough. Now I feel like we've turned the corner, and it's a pretty bright future for Fenway Sports Group. We're excited about the road ahead and excited that LeBron and Maverick have a seat at the table and are a part of those discussions.
All right, Sam Kennedy, we can't wait for more baseball and for Zach Brown on August 8th. So
let's go.
We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thanks, guys. Be safe.
All right, Sam Kennedy, front office report. Here is Ken Laird and what is trending this morning.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can pick up select varieties of General Mills cereal, including Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Honey Nut Cheerios, 97 cents per box when you activate the digital coupon. Limit 4 per customer, valid just through today now, Thursday, May the 13th. By the way, Sox tonight, game 3 of the series against the A's. They've dropped the first two, 7-10 the first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Can we go back to angry Greg Hill in the last segment, though? This is a soundbite that will not live forever.
How am I factually wrong?
Because nuts. I have not seen you that worked up in a while.
Yeah, Curtis gets under my skin. He does, it on, he does it on purpose.
Love that.
Does it on purpose.
Jeez. Malcolm Butler again today. This is the 80th straight show you've brought up Malcolm Butler. Can you just let it go?
I mean, this topic has been beaten to a pulp by this radio station.
I think Sam loved the LeBron question, by the way. He was thrilled with it.
Tupac, Biggie, JFK, Malcolm Butler.
Those are the big conspiracies?
And Kendra.
Four mysteries we will never have an answer to.
Well, you said earlier that when it comes to Biggie and Tupac,
mm-hmm.
that's bigger than JFK.
Yeah,
than
my world.
That's bigger. Who killed those two
right.
is bigger than who assassinated a president of the United States.
Yeah, in yeah. my world.
Now,
you know how old I was when JFK got assassinated? Take a guess.
You weren't even born yet.
Thank you.
Right. Neither was I, by the way. It was three years before I was born. But I did want to, if we have a moment, I did want to get Brittany to weigh in on who killed John F. Kennedy. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did the man die? He did.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Man, I give Brittany good. She took the Gary Tangway video well yesterday.
She did.
Yeah.
She's good
sport about it.
Yeah. She's a great sport.
Yeah.
I love Brittany.
Yeah. Why are you sitting on the back of a caddy, anyways, and you're president?
What do you mean?
It's just strolling through like a crowd.
Well, that was before they had things like the Pope Mobile.
You should never do that. I don't care if it is before the Pope Mobile.
Okay. Hindsight, you're right, Wiggs.
I'm just hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
you're right about that.
All right, your Patriots schedule. What's the biggest thing about the Pats schedule outside week four, October 3, the Goat Bowl, whatever it is?
Well, Wiggy has this big conspiracy theory, which is that the players prefer 1 o'clock games.
Yes.
So the NFL has given the Patriots more 1 o'clock games than ever before so as to ensure that they make it to the playoffs.
Right, because the NFL knows having the Patriots in the playoffs is huge for their product. Plus, they didn't want to give them 3 years in a row of five primetime games. You know, they had primetime last year, five of them. Year before, another five. Guys don't want to play on Sunday nights. Guys want to play Sunday, 1 o'clock, be done with it, and out. So the NFL goes, hey, our ratings are down, playoff last year. Why is that? We don't have the Patriots in there. Now we need them back in there. Let's give them an easy schedule, and let's give them a ton of 1 o'clock games.
Wiggy, that's patently wrong.
How is it patently wrong?
Because
how many years you play in the NFL?
Say, how is it patently
numb-nuts.
Wrong?
Numbnuts. Numbnuts. How many years you play in the league?
Okay. The networks dictate what teams get the primetime games based on them selecting it. It has nothing to do with Roger Goodell.
How
nothing.
Am I factually wrong?
Because
numb-nuts.
Who had more primetime games last year, the Patriots or the Bucks?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you. The Patriots.
Okay, Wiggy, I'm telling you, this is the first time the Patriots
have had... We knew Brady was going to be playing for the Bucks at the beginning of March.
So Wiggy, you're wrong again. I know it's hard for you to take an L, but
listen,
you're wrong. They're playing three primetime games,
yes.
And one of those is because of Brady. That is because the nation does not view them as a top storyline this year.
That's because the NFL is going, listen, we need the Pats back in the playoffs. We know guys don't want to play at 8 o'clock at night.
2018, the Patriots' last Super Bowl was the lowest rated Super Bowl in the last 20 years. People have Patriots fatigue.
No, they don't. They don't. They want them back.
Okay, look up the stat I just gave you.
Look up the playoff numbers last year. Lowest playoff numbers last year. Wild card weekend, divisional round, low numbers. And I even think the AFC championship game. Look at those numbers. When the Patriots are in the postseason, people, it's like rush. You either love them or you hate them.
The National Football League's conference finals drew an average of 44.3 million viewers, an increase of 3% year to year.
Because numb-nuts.
I mean, you want more facts, Wiggy, or are you just going to make things up?
No, I'm not making things up. I'm telling you what it is.
Can you wear...
How can you tell me what it is when I just gave you the stat that they were up, not down?
When the Patriots are in, all eyes are on it.
Curtis, how much to the foundation if Twitch donates for you to wear a numbnut shirt on the show?
I'll do anything.
Numbnuts.
I mean, honestly, it's like you present evidence to Wiggy, and he just ignores it.
You presented evidence, bruh.
You just said the ratings were down, and I just gave you a fact from Bloomberg.
Wild card and divisional rounds were down.
The Patriots never play on wild card weekend, so how
would
that be
relevant? They're playing the divisional round. The NFL knows the playoffs are down.
Let's look at
the divisional
round.
What team do you want in the playoffs? You want the Patriots there. They bring drama.
That's right. Numbnuts.
They don't. Like, Wiggy's just wrong.
No, the Patriots are
like... Divisional round was up 7%.
The Patriots are the Donald Trump of the NFL.
Wiggy, divisional
people
round...
People watch.
Without the Patriots, the playoffs were up.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
And that's what's trending now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And the great Stevie Wonder.
Another big birthday.
How old?
71.
Didn't he move somewhere?
Yeah, I thought it was
Indonesia.
Ghana.
Where did
I think it was Ghana.
Was he upset with the country or something? Yeah. Is that why he left?
He moved to Africa.
You disowned him, I think.
I'm going to say Ghana.
Nothing to do with me. Stevie Wonder doesn't even know who I am.
But after he declared it, you were like, I'm out on Stevie Wonder.
No, I'm in on Stevie Wonder. If he wants to move, more power to him.
He's going back to the motherland. Once again, Numbnuts was wrong. 4 months ago, from Sports Media Watch, headline, more decline for NFL playoffs, right? And just some of the numbers, hanging you all of them. The Bucks-Saints divisional game averaged about 35 million viewers on Fox, down 10%.
Down 10%?
10%. Because Numbnuts. In ratings, yes. From the year before. Which was Seahawks and Packers.
So those are two NFC games. What does that have to do with anything?
Tampa's win was the least watched since 2009 when it was the Chargers. And it continued moving on. The Cleveland game was down. Let's see the Cleveland numbers here. Oh, yeah. Earlier in the day, Browns Chiefs averaged about 34 million, down 10% in ratings from the year before that, which was the Texans and Chiefs. All across the board, the NFL playoffs were down. Guess what team was not in the playoffs last year?
Patriots.
I hate to bring this to your attention, Wiggy, because you're wrong again.
How am I wrong? I'm reading it right off.
The New England Patriots last season were down in ratings in Boston 26%.
That's because they weren't good. They weren't in the playoff hunt. So what's the NFL do? Say, we're going to give them an easy schedule. We're going to give them 1 o'clock games, and we are going to get them back to the top of the mountain.
$1 billion foundation idea from a texter.
Dumbest thing.
Next shirt?
Uh-huh.
Numbnut shirt.
With an arrow pointing up.
Numbnuts. No. I see it right now. Long sleeve tee.
Okay.
Just numbnuts and some kind of Curtis photo or... is there a Curtis GIF that is floating around?
Yeah, there's a great one on Twitch that everybody uses where I have my head cocked back and I got the headphones on.
Yes, Numbnuts. We'll sell 1,000 of those in 5 minutes.
And just to let the record show that Wiggy's evidence in this segment to show that the Patriots impacted the decrease in ratings was to provide 2 NFC ratings points.
I gave you the AFC.
And you have in the NFC Championship and AFC Championship games both up 3%.
I gave you the ratings.
So why were those up 3% year to year, Wiggy?
Oh, the AFC Championship was up this year because of Patrick Mahomes. Oh.
Drives me nuts.
So it would seem to be that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are the number one story.
I would say they were, but not no more.
So now it's the Patriots?
Now it's the Patriots, yep. Patriots, it's Belichick, Brady going back to New England. It's the Patriots getting back to the postseason. I've heard every NFL expert on every one of these channels and TV shows, NFL Network, ESPN, talking about the Patriots are back.
I don't buy the fact that it is some kind of an advantage for the New England Patriots that they have more 1 o'clock games.
Players like playing at 1 o'clock games.
Okay, I know you're saying that, but it's not an advantage. It's not a strategic advantage.
Greg, don't waste your time with logic. He doesn't care about it.
Wait a second.
I guarantee you Ninko is listening right now, and he will. I'm almost certain that he would say it's not any kind of a competitive advantage to play at 1 o'clock as opposed to playing at 8:20.
Okay, so if you like to do something.
Yes, if you like to do it in a certain way. I like being on the morning show. I would like to be on during the midday. It would be better for me hours wise. I'd get more sleep.
No, but that's the difference. If you prefer to do something at a specific time versus
that's not true.
I'm telling you, versus another time, you're more productive.
It doesn't make you better at it.
What?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
If you enjoy going to work every day versus not going to work, you think you're more productive when you enjoy it?
More productive, maybe.
1049 Gresham Key.
Jump in here. You're the only logical one.
We're talking about competitive advantage.
We're talking about competitive advantage because you enjoy playing at a specific time more than when you do at another specific time.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a million players say that. They love routine. They love 1 o'clock games. It's got to be an advantage as much as they talk about it.
Right. Mentally, you know what you're dealing with. Yep. So if you like going to work every day versus not going to work every day, not liking it, you're more productive.
Oh, okay. They don't not like playing at 8:20. They just might prefer a 1 o'clock game. I got that.
So they're more productive at 1 o'clock than they are 8 o'clock.
All right.
Or 8:20, whenever the hell
it's pure absolute advantage.
It does.
Right. And those teams that have virtually no primetime games always end up doing way better. Well, they end up doing way better during those seasons.
Let me ask. I'm sorry. I should have asked. Let me ask everybody in the room, okay, when you played Greg and Ken Curtis, when did you prefer?
No.
I'm asking the question. Did you prefer 1 o'clock games or 8:20 games?
We can't comment.
No, you can comment.
I find that people that played a sport
are
far worse analysts than people that haven't.
That's fine. That is fine. And
if you look at the history of people like Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, they suck at talking about the game that they were great playing at. That's my opinion.
Bird's never talked about the game. I never seen Bird as an in-studio guy.
Better you play, the more you play, the less you have to say.
I told you. He right back.
Shannon Sharp, look at that brand.
Yep. Shannon Sharp, complete moron.
Hey, he's got a national show. What do you got? Where's Spaz? How many times you been national like Shannon Sharp?
I produced a national show at ESPN Radio. Thanks, Chief.
I give your boy, what's his name that we played? Pat McAfee.
Texter says that if they wanted to fix the schedule, they should have had the Patriots play Bentley a couple times.
Right. Well, that would... yeah. The NFL is in cahoots with Bill Belichick trying to make it easy
not
for
Belichick.
Him to get back to the playoffs.
Robert Kraft.
Like the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life.
It's a ridiculous conspiracy.
It's not ridiculous.
It is a ridiculous conspiracy.
Okay, let me ask you this question. I want you to be honest. Is it more interesting when the Patriots are in the playoffs versus when
because with Cam Newton, they will never get anywhere in the playoffs. If
national
they had Brady,
level.
Right, they're not interesting nationally with Cam Newton as their quarterback. No.
I agree with Curtis. It was when they had Tom Brady and when the whole entire country hated him. I think it was. I don't think it's the same thing now.
It's still the same thing because...
Are they setting Tom Brady up to lose?
People in Boston didn't even watch him last year, and you think the nation wants to.
Oh, of course they do.
This is Walt. Hello, Walt.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Hey, Greg. Good.
Yeah.
Greg, is the guest list open Saturday to meet Numbnuts and the crew?
Ooh.
I like Numbnuts and the crew.
We're getting tight, but I think, Walt, we could squeeze you in. Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on afterwards. We have a little. Right. We have a special section there at Stats, and we could make that happen.
Numbnuts and the crew.
All right. Numbnuts. I'll seat you. Would you like to be seated right next to Numbnuts?
No, not really.
We had to get him a higher high top because he has to cross sit at Stats.
That's why he got the nickname Numb Nuts, because his nuts are always numb from cross sit.
Oh, Wiggy. That was actually a good one.
You ever have a leg fall asleep and you got to hit it to wake it up? It's like Curtis is always smacking his groin.
It's like me during your lead.
Listen, Numb Nuts, I gave you some real numbers.
Right, they were down 26% in Boston.
Would you rather see the Colts or the Patriots in the postseason? What's the biggest storyline?
Carson Wentz over Cam Newton? Absolutely.
Biggest storyline.
Well, did you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, it's
no,
just...
I was just checking to see if the guest list was open Saturday.
Right. Hang on, and I will have Stanley Stiz Grimey give you the deets.
The schedule makers have an agenda, and that agenda is to get Bill Belichick at his absolute best and Tom Brady at his absolute worst.
No way. I don't buy it either.
Believe it. I believe that, and I believe the NFL is we need the Patriots back in. Kraft made some calls and said, listen, I'm not sitting home during the playoffs no more. Get this thing done.
This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you guys hear me well?
Yeah, we got you. What's up?
I got two things. I got one thing for Greg, and I got a little bet for Wiggy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Greg, every time I try to like you, you just do something to bleep it up because you're trying to tell me that that wasn't a personal decision with Belichick benching Butler.
First
of
all,
you were criticizing me about how you guys do criticize him on benching Butler in that game when we had the Brady, Belichick, who made who, debacle, and you said that you criticized Belichick over it. Now all of a sudden you're saying that it was a business decision.
Well, first of all,
win that game. There's no doubt about it.
It drives me nuts that we are all assuming that we know exactly what happened and why the decision was made. Is it likely that what is rumored to have occurred with Malcolm Butler occurred? I don't think so. I don't think that. Wiggy, do you think that's likely?
I don't buy that rumor out there.
You
there's a few rumors out there, but I don't buy that one that the alleged one. I just don't see that, man.
Okay, so if that thing that can't be mentioned occurred, and it let's say that it had occurred with any other position person of authority on that team that didn't have a certain name, you don't think the same decision would have been made about Malcolm Butler? That's why you're calling it personal, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. Malcolm Butler was an all-star, all-pro, all-star of the team, dude. I mean, come on now. He was a shutdown corner the year before. You know, the year before that. I mean, the guy, phenomenal. Not to mention, he saved the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks. And then you mean to tell me that he wouldn't make just one play for the defense in Super Bowl 52 to help us win that game? That way Brady doesn't get strip sacked?
I bet
the team on that sideline being all depressed that Malcolm Butler was benched for the game. That completely dismantled the whole team.
So why did he dress
before the quarter even started?
Why did he dress him then?
That's what gets me. That's what I don't understand.
Right.
That gets me too. I can't even answer that.
But that's anyway, a negative for Belichick, whole, Greg.
What?
That he dressed him.
You think he dressed him just to embarrass him?
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. And now I got the bet for Wiggy. Wiggy,
yeah.
You there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, Wiggy. Now, are you a fan of WWE, or do you have any kids that are fans?
I mean, I used to watch it. I was always a fan of it growing up. So, yeah, I could say I'm a little bit of a fan. I'm not into it as like I used to be, but, yeah.
That's when the champions win, right?
Well,
say it again. We lost you.
All right. You know the championship belts that they walk with, right?
Yeah.
Over the ring?
Yeah.
Okay, now I have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
Of this era. I have that $500 replica belt.
Oh, my God.
I will bet you, I will put that on the line for you personally, that Mac Jones is the starter week one.
Ooh.
Cam Newton.
Wow.
I will meet you personally at Gillette Stadium, hand you that belt
on a live video. I get it for
a
week.
And I will proudly wear that numbnut shirt and say, I'm the real numbnut. Here's
okay. And I get to wear the belt for like a week or something?
No, you get to keep it. Take it home.
I don't want to keep it. I mean, it's your belt, but I'll definitely, you know, wear it around for a couple days.
I wouldn't bring it here. Gresh might take it.
I mean, bigger. Well, Gresh does love the WWE. Oh. He does love the WWE.
That's the best thing.
A bigger story is you paid $500 for a WWE belt
replica.
Replica.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's because I used to be a huge fan until it went all down the toilets.
I love those belts.
Would you win some kind of a vaccine lottery or something like that?
Antoine Winfield had one when the Bucks were having their water parade. I love the wrestling belts. I wish they had them when I was playing. Wish we would have got a couple of those.
This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Morning, guys. How we doing?
What's up?
I got two things. So the game between Belichick and Brady, the both of them sit on the throne of the greatest of all time. You got to call it the Game of Thrones, right? Number two, if Curtis is numbnuts, then Ken's got to be no nuts, right?
Numbnuts. I'm telling you, I gotta get Adam or Ashley from the foundation on the phone immediately.
Yeah,
and start making those shirts.
Numbnuts gotta be it,
huh?
It's gotta be it.
The numbnuts shirt.
I love it.
The Chris Curtis Memorial numbnut shirt.
Yes.
Home run.
Game of Gods.
Game of Gods.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
You struck out, I think.
Stick with the conspiracy theories.
Most of your names this morning.
I'm throwing some stuff at the wall, Greg.
All right. We will be right back.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers. And I'm hoping for Raleigh, I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey.
There's a couple. cover that was bigger than the original. Nice choice, Ken Laird.
Darius Rucker's birthday today as well.
D-Ruck.
Hootie.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
I do love Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hey, that's a black country singer right there.
Yes. Did very well. There's a guy who went genre to genre.
That's impressive.
Never mind band to band within the genre.
Right. What was his? What would you have categorized his genre when he was with Hootie and the Blowfish?
Pop.
Pop. Right?
Pop rock.
Pop rock?
Yeah.
Think about this. What other black artists could go from pop rock to country and be successful in both of them?
Lionel Richie. If anybody Lionel could do
Richie
it, it would
never
be Lionel.
Really did country, though.
I know, but he could have.
But he didn't.
I know, but he could have.
I don't know if he could.
I think he could have.
It's a dangerous slope because remember.
I think he could have.
If Lionel was too R&B.
If Bill Belichick didn't have some kind of a personal issue with Lionel Richie, he would have been so much bigger. Right, Curtis? Right, Numb Nuts? This is Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Greg. Welcome to your show.
Thank you, Numb Nuts. What's happening?
I hope we have a couple more race topics.
Not much. Mr. Wiggins, you said that most NFL players prefer playing at 1 o'clock, correct?
Yes.
So wouldn't that mean the team on the other side of the ball also prefers to play at 1, so it would be a wash as far as a competitive advantage?
That is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's stupid, because it's about repeated 1 o'clock games. Numb nuts.
Right.
Numb nuts.
It's about having the majority of your games be at 1 o'clock then.
I love it.
That's so stupid. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, don't either. Let's go back to the Lionel Richie making the crossover to country.
No, but it's not an advantage. If you have a bunch of 1 o'clock games and you prefer those better, the guys you are playing in those 1 o'clock games also prefer those and therefore are playing better.
Yeah, but they might be coming off a Thursday night or a Monday night or a Sunday night.
Right. Nice. So think about this. The Bucks are going to be coming off a 425 game against the Rams, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they're going to have to play the 8 o'clock game, where the Patriots are going to be coming off a 1 o'clock game. So they're going
to
have...
What I remember, Greg, was when the Patriots didn't need to stack things in their favor in order to win games. I loved the Patriots when they just took everybody's best shot, because everybody was coming for them, and they still kicked their ass. That's a team I liked.
They still have that team. That's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to see this year.
Only if they're at 1, please.
Oh, well, a lot of 1 o'clock games, man. The NFL knew what they were doing.
This is Phil from Maine. What's up, Phil?
They put their good teams on at night, Wiggy. Pay attention.
Cut Numb Nuts mic off.
What's up? What's up, Phil? Ah, Phil. Try again, Phil. Try again.
Phil's phone was bad.
AAF caller.
Ooh, we need to have some of those AAF listeners that you insulted at Stats on Saturday night.
Again, this is supposed to be a joyous occasion for me. Why do you keep stacking the deck with these haters?
By the way, Ken, yesterday with the presumptive, if I have to pay for my food and drink, I'm happy to do so. Like, who says that going into an event like that?
Well, just bring cash.
He reserved the room.
He said, by the way, you know, I'm happy to pay if I have to, assuming that I'm going to pick up the tab for everybody.
No, I wasn't assuming.
Yes, you were.
It was a pretty embarrassing session for Ken yesterday, multiple reasons.
Jesus.
Management comes in the office. We're all talking, you know, briefly. Says, how you doing? And
there goes Numb Nuts' microphone.
Numb Nuts.
We go. Boy, that's his
microphone. Turn his microphone on.
Why?
Ken, in the office. Our new boss comes in, checking in how we're doing, and he's like, Tim, yesterday I drove out to Sudbury and on my own accord, and I connected a Comrex into Gary Tangway's lovely living room, and it was a really important thing for me to do, and I just wanted you to know about it.
What'd you do yesterday for the show?
In case anybody's handing out gold stars, I'd like one right over here.
I saw some Kit Kats on your desk. I would love one if you could send one my way.
Listen, Ken.
Leaving at 10:10 today? Or
Ken, you trying to be like... 10:15. What is he? Just trying to do more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Spaz. Just trying to do more.
Maybe he'll stay at 10:20 today.
This is Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
What do morning, I do guys. Here after How the show? You? I just sit
exactly.
and talk to people.
What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, listen. I was on hold earlier, but Ken, I was getting my second Pfizer shot, so I figured you'd let me call back. I figured you'd be proud of me.
Nice job.
Thank you, sir. Trying to contribute to the positive. Anyway, you were talking about the spot on First Things First about, you know, Brady to 50 and everything. I think your guy, Kevin Wiles, from I believe he's up your way, actually made a tacit endorsement of Kendra. Because when he was talking about the Jason Light play, the fifth day, he goes, shots fired, boop, boop.
Oh, he did?
You got to listen to it on YouTube. I had never heard that before. She said it right. Like that. And he's up your way, so I think that means he's listening to you. Hmm. And I think he liked it because he used it on the air. And I said, oh, my God.
Right. Who was that? Shots fired, boop, boop.
You know Kevin Wilds? You know, he's the co-host with Nick Wright, who hates everything.
Okay. And he said shots fired, boop, boop.
Shots fired, boop, boop.
Boop, boop. Another endorsement for Kendra. I do like Kendra.
Oh, well.
I do like Kendra.
We don't know, man. We don't know. This is fluid.
Good morning, Gresh.
I would have thought a radio veteran like you wouldn't have run as half-ass a search as you have, if I may.
Shots fired.
How
would you have done it?
Huh? I would let someone else do it. Because you're now wrapped in the middle of it, it's a massive controversy.
I love digging right deep in the middle of the controversy. Good. I love it.
People putting the Insta blasts are hilarious.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't have anything going on in life, but I know it's not going to be this. Let me post this on a forum with a bunch of older people who are just staring at me.
You don't like the passive-aggressive response?
Says a lot about a lot of people. And listen, I'm somebody who's MF'd people, been fired, told people off, all that. Even I know that's stupid. What are you doing? Well, I got nothing else going on, but let me cross myself off this list.
Wait a second. Wait a second. You can't just take shots at her. I mean, she's got to know something. I mean, how long is she supposed to wait around?
I'm not taking shots. I'm making an observation.
Well, I mean, you can't wait around.
Negotiating.
Can't wait around forever. I mean, sooner or later, it's like, you know what? You've heard the saying, right? Drop a deuce or get off the pot.
I do believe that when it comes to Brittany, she comes from a reality television background.
Right.
So I think that some of the things that she does, like her declaration and other things, are things that one would do on some kind of a reality TV competition program.
Sure. See, what she,
I think she's playing along here.
And what she's doing, though, she's probably doing what the other co-host want to do but can't do or won't do.
Possible.
And saying, hey, listen, you know what? Here's how I feel, and I'm getting it out there.
Possible.
Where the other ones want to say the same thing behind closed. I'm telling you, tonight's dinner... They're going to be like, power to you, girl.
Would you like to be a fly on the wall over there tonight?
Well, I mean, if you got some moles or something that are going to be there, I mean, don't you have some moles?
No recording devices that are already going to be installed?
Maybe there will be.
Are you going to this thing?
By the way, Juddy on the Twitch chat says, don't let Gresh tell you how to captain your ship.
Wow.
Uh-oh, Skipper.
Again, I didn't
say right about that.
Didn't say how to do it. I just made an observation based on this elongated, prolonged process that you now have to drag Gary Tangway into to read some new stuff because there isn't an 11th voice on the show to be able to do it.
Would you like to use Tangway as your announcer at any point today? He's looking for something.
I love Gary, but I spent 10 years late nights with that guy after Patriot games. I love him, but I'm okay.
Good morning.
He's a great friend. He's a good man.
Can you weigh in quickly on the Wiggy conspiracy of the day, which is that the NFL fixed the schedule for the Patriots by giving them more 1 o'clock games?
Because
guys really like 1 o'clock games.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I think it was more maybe about the TV battle that did or didn't go down. See, the problem is there's a lot of now really watchable games. It's not just where can we jam the big cities in, like Chicago or New York or someone like that, where normally it'd be, just put the city on and they'll get us a number. Now, like, Buffalo and Kansas City is interesting, but they're not the biggest metropolises on the planet, but still they're going to get now there where they normally wouldn't get a primetime game.
They're going to get one.
Now they do.
Yeah.
So I think the shifting of the league a little bit, but no, I heard a lot of, and I heard this, you know, guys, just to let everybody know, the schedule formula for 2022 is already out there. If you'd like to know the majority of the opponents for a team in 2022, because if I hear another pinhead be like, well, the Bucks got an easy schedule. Yeah, because it was already predetermined.
You're calling me a pinhead now?
I didn't know that was you.
Guys do like 1 o'clock games better than 8 o'clock games.
You know who else does too? Broadcasters. Advantage. People who have to do the pre and post and all that. Oh, my God.
Well, we already have a numbnuts on this program. We can't have a pinhead also.
Yeah. Breaking news, Super Bowl no longer at 6:00. 1 o'clock.
All right. What are you guys doing today?
Getting into Charles Barkley had some interesting stuff to say about the Celtics, along with Kendrick Perkins. We'll get into that. We've got some, clearing up some of the schedule stuff that's out there.
Okay.
And your buddy Cam Neely, spitting hot fire. We're getting into the whole Taylor Hall stuff.
Excellent.
Hard not to get excited about Taylor Hall, maybe being here long term.
I'm telling you, would you not sign him right now?
Well, I would. I would start to lay the groundwork.
I mean, I understand you got to figure out what the Krejci thing is, but I'd sign the kid right now.
Give him $30 million a year. Pats could possibly go.
$30 million.
Pats could possibly go 9-1 in their first 10 games. You guys should be talking about
you
that.
You know what?
Look at their schedule.
You know, the early we discussed yesterday, they could be 3-0 going into the Tampa game.
Oh, they will be 3-0. And Tampa's probably going to be 2-1.
Are you being serious about 9-1?
Well, no, I think that if you look at Tampa Bay,
you said 8-2. He starts the show at 8-2 after 10.
Right, but when I heard the Pat McAfee, they're going to catch Brady not at his best because of the travel, the trip, the flying, playing against the Rams, and then having to come back from the West Coast, then fly up to New England. You'll get him when he's not on his best. So,
just quick, because I know we got to go. Ken or Curtis, if I remember correctly, didn't the Patriots play like back-to-back weeks in L.A. last year or something like that?
Yeah, at the end of the season.
So did we sit here and go, boy, the NFL is looking to screw them?
No, we did not.
No, it actually worked out good for them.
Plus, the other thing, too, is they got two teams playing in that stadium.
They stayed in L.A. The NFL screwed Brady on this?
No, he knows better.
Come on. Right. He's flying to L.A.
We got to get out of here.
And by the way, I think the NFL has really wanted the Browns to be good because they played at 1 o'clock for like 15 years in a row.
I'm telling you.
Didn't help.
All right.
Didn't seem to help.
Watch my Pats when they make the playoffs.
That's the best point that Curtis has made all day.
All right, we got to go. Back tomorrow morning at 6, and Andy Brickley of Nesson will join us at 8 to talk Bruins. Gresh and Keefe is next.